out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. These are some very harsh words that God is writing through John to the church of Laodicea, and what it boils down to, he's very upset with the way that they live their so-called Christian life. He's not pleased with the way that they treat Christianity, with the way that they treat the Bible, with the way that they approach the way that they go to church, and how they do things. He's very displeased with it. He knows their works. He knows their heart. He knows their intentions, and it makes him want to vomit. It makes him want to spew out and to throw up because of their actions, because of how they treat this thing of the Christian's life. In verse 17, he gives some detail. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Those are some harsh words that God has for the church. He said, you think that you have all this money. You think that you have all these nice clothes. You've got the nice cars. You have everything in this world that you think that you need, and you do not know that you have need of me. And he said, you don't realize that you're blind and naked and you're miserable. Amen, that we're miserable. We have Christians that live their life today that say they're saved. They say they've been washed in the blood, and thank God for it if they are. And they might be saved, but their Christian life is lacking a lot. Why? Because they don't need God. They have everything they need, and they do not need God in their life. But I'm here to tell you that we have to have God in our life. We need Him in our life. And we cannot do it without Him. And we will be miserable people without Him. Without God in our life. Our relationship with our wife and our children, everything in our life will be miserable without God being the center of our life. And God here is upset at this church of Laodicea. In today's world and society, there have been a lot of attempts at trying to answer one question, and that's something I want to look at this morning. The title of today's message is Man's Great Problem. You know, man has been trying to figure out what is wrong with man. They're trying to figure out why we kill each other. They're trying to figure out why there's murder all the time. People have dubbed Birmingham as Murderham. People killing everywhere, amen? They try to figure out why divorce is so high. They try to figure out why there's problems and why the prison systems are full today and why the juvenile detention centers are full today. And man is trying to solve this great problem on their own with worldly wisdom. And I'm going to give you some examples this morning as a way of introduction. There are multiple TV shows that are on today that focus on trying to help people become and feel better about themselves. Amen? The world is trying to help you. And you say, why are you preaching to the church this morning this? Because there are way too many Christians that follow right along with what the world's advice is for man's great problem. It has swept its way through churches all across America, and even in some independent Bible-believing Baptist churches, they have adopted some of these ideas that the world has come up with. Let me just give you a few of these shows where people are made to try to feel better about themselves. Oprah. I'm not going to go into details on all these because we do not have the time this morning, but that is one. Oprah, Ellen DeGenerate, The View. You know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:6? It talks about a group that is led captive, silly women laden with sins. You know what laden means? It means oppressed or burdened. And you know what that the view is? That's what it is. Silly women laden with sin. They get on there and talk about these things. But all these shows, this is what these shows in the world, they use these individuals, they use that to try to change our thoughts and our mind about man. And they try to get us to feel better about ourselves and about yourselves and to love yourselves. Dr. Phil, every single morning and night talk show that is on television does these things. And there's Christians that'll sit there and watch those things, and all of a sudden their mind and their heart and their thoughts are on the world's wisdom on how to fix man's problems, and they have no clue what the Bible says about it. They don't have a clue. Brother Johnny, there's Christians, there's churches today, there's pastors in pulpits that get up and they preach things about man and about man's great problems, and every bit of the answer is the things that they find that the world is giving, the answers the world's giving. And you know what it boils down to? They're telling you that you just need to love yourself. That, you know, man can fix this thing on their own. Man can fix this great dilemma of sin, and they can fix this problem that they have in their life just by thinking themselves that they can fix it. How's that working for us? Amen. It's not working very well, but that's man's attempt at trying to correct it. But you know, there's two things that I find very troubling about every one of these TV shows and every one of these ideas that the world has trying to help man feel better about themselves and trying to answer the man's great problem. And one thing is, they make fun of sin. They make a mock of sin. They joke about adultery. They joke about fornication. They joke about sinful things. They joke about drinking, and they joke about these things. The Bible says over in Proverbs 14:9 that fools make a mock at sin. And you know what's sad? There's Christians all over that'll sit there and watch this stuff and soak it up. They'll soak it up. They make fun of sin. Not only that, but they go to the extreme to try to make people feel better about themselves. And what's sad is there's a lot of Christians that have fallen into these traps. And I'm telling you what, there is hardly a TV show that is on today that is fitting for a child of God to watch. Why? They make a mock of sin. They make a joke of sin, and Christians sit back and laugh. They'll have two sodomites on there doing all kind of goofy stuff, and silly Christians that don't know their Bible will sit there and laugh at it. Amen. Y'all right this morning? This is what God gave me. I haven't even gotten to the message yet. But I'm telling you, there's Christians all over sit there and laugh at it and then wonder why in the world we don't have the power of God in our churches and in our homes. There have been TV shows. Let me give you something else. There have been many books written to help man solve his great problem and to feel better about himself. And, you know, there's been books written by so-called Christians to help you accept the sin in your life, to be okay with the sin in your life. There's churches all over. The number's growing of churches that are helping the church cope and accept sodomy. They're trying to teach their church how to adopt to it and how to cope with it. You might not like it, but they're trying to teach you how to live with it. Amen. I think that's wicked. I think it's wicked. But there's been many books. Let me just give you a couple. T.D. Jakes wrote a book called Soar, and it's trying to help man become a better person. Now, if I can get through this without throwing up, Joel Osteen has got some books. Listen to the titles of his books. The Power of I Am. Think Better, Live Better. Your Best Life Now. And he's got 100 versions of that. I Declare 3 Promises to Speak Over Your Life. Become a Better You. Every Day a Friday. These are all titles of books that he's written. You Can, You Will. Your Best Life. Break Out. Fresh Start. Hope. Good, Better, Blessed. Living with Purpose, Power, and Passion. It's your time. You can, you will. Joyce Myers. You say, why are you mentioning these? I'll tell you in a second. Joyce Myers, this is, Power Thoughts, Living Beyond Your Feelings. And I could go on and on and on. You say, why do you mention these? Because I know of Christians that get these books and they read them and they have this thought, these thoughts in their mind about our lives. You know what's happening here? You know what's happening? You're still in Revelation chapter 3, aren't you? Revelation chapter 3, look at verse number 17 again. Do you know what's happening here? You know what's happening with these modern day books and this modern ideology of think better about yourself and you can be, you really are a good person. You really are a great person. You need to love yourself. You need to love who you are and all these things. Look here in verse number 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. We're living in a day and age today where we don't need God and we don't need anything else. We just need to think that we're good. And you know what God says? Look there in verse 17. But thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What do you mean we're naked? We have all the clothes we want. We got all the food we want. We have all the house we want, all the cars we want. What do you mean that we're poor and blind and naked? What he's trying to tell you is spiritually, hey, you are in a bad place spiritually in your mind if you think that you are somebody. All these books are trying to get mankind, and I'm telling you what it all boils down to, is the God of this world, Satan, if he could convince you that you are a God, little g, then you won't need the big God. And he's trying to convince, there's religious systems and beliefs and doctrines out there that try to teach you that we're all gods, Brother Terry. Joel Osteen got up and said one time in an interview that there's many ways to Christ, everybody's just got to find their own way. Amen. That's exactly what the devil wants you to know. That's exactly what he wants you to think. He's got all these multiple books written on how to think better and be better and just think you're a good person. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we are nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to be a real positive message this morning on man's great problem. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is at the very, very end. Man's great problem. Number one, I'd like to say that man's great problem, one of the things is his ways are selfish. His ways are selfish. You say, what do you mean by that? The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, you can write these down if you don't want to turn over there for sake of time. I'm going to read them. Proverbs 14:12 or Proverbs 16:9. It says it in both places. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know one of man's great problems? Do you know why we have all the problems in this world and the difficulties that we deal with in marriages and the problems we have with our children and our spouses? Is every man thinks that his way is right. They think that it's me first and it's my way. We live in a very, very selfish generation. We don't care who it affects. We don't care how it affects them. And we don't care who we run over. We're going to do it our way. And that's the age that we live in today, whether we like it or not. And you know what? All these books and all these TV shows, they promote this. Oh, it doesn't matter what the Bible says, Brother Terry. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. What makes you feel good? Do it. Is that not what they say? Okay, well then you got Bible-believing people that say, hey, we're going to follow the Bible. You got people say, we're going to do it our way, and now you got a conflict, you got a problem. People want to do it there, and this ideology is swept into the church that we're going to do church our way, we're going to worship God our way, we're going to wear whatever we want to wear, we're going to do whatever we want to do, and we don't care what the Bible says. I would never say that. Well, what does our life say? Because our life is saying, we're going to do it our way. And you know what a man's great problem is? His ways are selfish. He's just going to do whatever pleases him. Amen? It doesn't matter what the Bible says, because we can preach it till we're blue in the face, but at the end of the day, Brother Hodge, everybody's going to do what they want to do. Now, whenever you do good is when your way lines up with God's way and say, hey, this is the way I'm going to do it because that's what God says, and you're going to be good to go. But the problem is that's not how it is. There's people today that are not in church. They laid out this morning. Why? Because they didn't feel like going. There's people that haven't read their Bible one time this year. Why? Because there's no time? No, they didn't make time. They didn't want to. Because if you wanted to, you would. We're going to go on soul winning visitation. We're going to go knock doors, and we're going to have work days. And you know what? Those that want to will be here. And I know that some have to work, and don't get upset about that. The ones that will be here. Amen? That's how we get why. What it boils down to is man's way. And today, we have churches everywhere that they'll feed that. However you want to come, just come. Man, my dad always said, whenever he was pastoring back in Ohio, these churches started putting on billboards, "Come as you are. We don't care. Just come as you are." He goes, "Man, one day I'm going to show up in a thong to one of those churches, and that's all I'm going to wear and see if they care if I come how I am." Amen. God has a standard. You say, "Do I got to wear a suit and tie?" No. But you need to look your best for God. Amen. You just need to look nice and presentable when you come to the house of God. I ask that the preachers wear a tie when they get up to preach. And I think that's a respect for the position and pulpit. But I'm telling you this morning that man's, one of their great problems is me first. It's my way or no way. And that thing has swept his way into churches. You know why some churches have splits? Some churches have splits because people want it their way. And they don't care what anybody else thinks or what the Bible says. We don't ever vote on anything, but there's churches that vote on stuff, and they're like, "We're going to change the carpet out, and we're going to have a vote." Well, they have a church fight and a split and a fist fight at the back door because somebody wanted blue carpet and somebody wanted green carpet. And the church is busted all to pieces. You know what? If we get a church that unifies and said, "What way do you want?" "I want God's way," then we won't have a problem. We'll never have a problem as long as we say, "Hey, we want whatever God's way is. We're going to follow his way." Number one, his ways are selfish. Number two, his works are selfish. His works, you want to know what one of man's biggest problems is? His ways are selfish. His works are selfish. You know what that means? They do not care about anybody. They are only out to protect and help themselves. What kind of Christian are you going to be, Brother Brian, if you don't give a flip about anybody and all you care about is uno number uno? You're never going to lead one person to God. You're never going to be able to help anybody. You're never going to be able to help your wife. Hey, you want your divorce? You want your marriage to end in shambles and in divorce? Only care about yourself. And don't give a flip about anybody else in your family. Man's got a big problem, do they not? Divorce is at an all-time high among Christians. Among Christians. I'm not talking about those that are lost. Churches are busting up. There's problems everywhere. And what is it? Hey, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. They're selfish in their work. Everything they do is for uno number one. They don't care about anything else. This could carry over into anything. What about tithing and giving at the church? I don't hardly ever preach or talk about it, but I'm telling you what, we have a responsibility to tithe and participate in the church that we're in. God blesses those things. He gives us a standard. He gives us an example of 10%. And we're supposed to do those things. And the Bible says if we don't, we're robbing God of our tithes and offerings. But you know what it comes down to? Well, I can't. Why can't you? Because I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this. And all of a sudden, it's selfish. Amen? You say, "Well, I can't afford to do it." Well, the way I see it, you can't afford not to do it. Amen? The more I give, the more God blesses. And I'm not going to get into all that this morning. Man's great problem, his ways are selfish. His works are selfish. You know what else? His worth is selfish. His worth, you say, "What do you mean by that?" Man thinks that they're somebody. They actually think that they're important. I know this is popular. I wonder if Joel Steen would let me preach it over there at Lakeview or whatever the name of that church is. I probably couldn't even preach it at the church down the road, to be honest with you. He thinks his worth is something. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 6:18? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know what God talks about? God talks a lot about our pride. And you know one of man's problems is? He thinks he's somebody. You know, we, Brother Zane, we would never get offended ever if we would realize that we're nobody. If we would fall in love with God said, "Those that love thy law, nothing shall offend them." You fall in love with God's word, and you say, "Well, what do you mean if you don't think you're somebody?" The more you get in that book, the less you'll think of yourself. You fall in love with God's word, and nothing will ever offend you. Nobody will ever make you mad. Nothing will ever happen. Why? Because I'm nobody. You know what I deserve, Brother Hunter? I deserve to be in hell right now. I was in a tragic car accident growing up. I almost died when I was on the phone with Brother Hunter the other day, probably because I was on the phone driving. I almost died on the interstate. He called me right after it just about happened. And I thank God that I don't know how I didn't get hit. I'm going to be honest with you. But you know what? I'm nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that. And as soon as we start realizing that we're somebody, that's a problem. We live in a generation in the society today where everybody has their opinion. Social media has just about completely destroyed churches all over America. Why? Everybody has their opinion and they think it's important. Amen? But they're like feet. Everybody's got them. They all stink. At the end of the day, they all stink. Amen? Why? God could care less about your opinion. He doesn't care, Brother Johnny. He said, well, God loves me and God cares about me. Yeah, He does if you're following that book. And God does love you if you're saved. Amen? And I thank God for it. But as far as your ways and your opinions, that's what He cares about, is what's sitting in your lap right there. Everybody's got their opinion on everything political. They got their opinion on the church. They got their opinion on the preacher. They got their opinion on everything. And they think they're special and important. I'm here to tell you, you're not. I'm not. I'm nobody. We're all a bunch of nobodies trying to get together and serve somebody. Amen? And that's what we have to know, and we have to understand that. One of man's great problems is his selfish worth. He thinks he's worth something. I'm telling you, God could squish us like a little bug. Just end it right then and there. Young lady, you might think that you're somebody or want to be somebody. We're nobody. We just got to fall in love with God and do what He says and serve Him. Amen? We are absolutely nobody. Man's great problem, his selfish ways, his selfish works, his selfish worth. But last of all, and this one's last for a reason, because of his selfish worship. So what do you mean by that? People today love themselves. And they're taught to do that. All these books, all these TV shows, the world today is teaching people to fall in love with themselves. Is it not? You can't turn on the television without commercials. You can't watch a football game with commercials about some kind of makeup or some kind of thing or some kind of car or some kind of thing that you have to have to make you feel better about yourself, and you deserve it. That's what they say. Hey, man, is this all? Are y'all all right? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1-2, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves. And I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time, there's a time today where men absolutely are in love with themselves. They love everything about themselves. You say, how do you know? Look at social media. They got to tell you when everything they're doing. I got out of bed this morning. Now I'm going to the restroom. Now I'm going to go to the doctor. Now I'm getting a shot. Ouch. Nobody cares. No, I don't care. Nobody cares. Amen? But you think that everybody does, and you love yourself. Amen? I hate listening to myself preach. I don't know how y'all do it. I go back and listen to it. Try to be a better preacher and listen to it and see how many times I messed up and all those things. But man, I can't stand here myself. I don't know how anybody else puts up with it. Anybody else that way about themselves? Not about me. Don't. I can't stand it. But I tell you what, man, how many times I see folks, man, they take all these pictures of themselves and they'll go back and look at them, Brother Hunter. Like, oh man, look at that. Well, my hair wasn't. Man, my hair looked really good that day. Flip it through. Oh man, I like that. I look good in that outfit. You know what young ladies today are obsessed with? Their look. They're obsessed with their hair. And there's nothing wrong with look. I appreciate y'all look nice this morning. I told Brooke I like that. That's a big bow. I like that. That's a good looking bow, isn't it? Hey, man. She shakes her head good enough. We'll have disco. Oh, don't throw your Bible down. I appreciate you look nice this morning, but what's the problem is, You know, young ladies today, they become obsessed with how they look. And society's teaching them to do that. Well, you're too fat, or you're too skinny, or you're this, or you're that, or this body part's not big enough, or this, it's too big, or whatever. And they go on and on. And society is teaching us to love ourselves. You just need to love the way that you are. You know what you need to do? You need to thank God for how He made you and go serve Him. It doesn't matter what any stinking boy says. And I know there's zero eligible bachelors in our church right now. God will send us some someday. Amen. I love you guys. You know, boys pick their noses, and a lot of times they eat it. Boys, did you guys know that girls' feet stink? Sometimes their underarms stink when they get to sweating real good. Sometimes they make funny noises like guys do. You say, you're embarrassing me. You think too highly of yourself. Boys try so hard to impress girls. We go overboard at work. We try so hard to impress everybody and say, look at me. And I'm telling you what, one of our problems in this country, and it swept its way into the church, is we love ourselves way too much. In the last days, perilous times shall come when men shall be lovers of themselves. That's not talking about sodomy. That's talking about you fall in love with me. And if we're all honest, we all have a little bit of love for ourselves. Amen. You see me, I'm overweight, and that's not right. I need to lose weight. That's wrong. I agree 100%. People say, well, you preach against all this stuff, and you're, well, I believe it's wrong for me to be overweight. I need to lose weight, and I'm trying to work on it. It's hard, though. You know why I'm overweight? Because I love myself. You know why some people are ripped, and they've got all the six packs. You can do laundry on their stomach like they did back in the day with the washboards. But they show it off. It's funny when people lose weight, you know, they start losing a lot of weight, their shirts get tighter and tighter and tighter. They went from a tent to a little kid's shirt, but yet they're big. Amen? Why? Because they're starting to show something off, because you know why? I love myself. I want you to love me too. Amen? Y'all all right this morning? You know what man's problem is? We love ourselves. That is a great problem. And it swept its way through the churches. And now we've got young ladies and young men, they're obsessed with trying to look good. They're obsessed with trying to be pleased. Man, there's a young lady, and I pray to God this never happens here, and I pray to God that there's none doing it. No young men or no ladies that'll cause themselves to throw up because they want to try to be so skinny, or they'll start cutting themselves or doing things to themselves, and they're trying to manipulate their bodies because, hey, the world has put so much pressure on them to look good. And I agree that you need to eat healthy and live right and do those things, but however it turns out, that's how it turns out. That Coke bottle figure all you ladies want so bad, these young girls, like, man, I got to have this. It turns into a 2-liter after 3 or 4 kids. Yeah. And the older you get, you're like, I give up. It is where it is, and it falls where it falls. All these men, they want all these big, strong muscles, and praise God for young men with strong muscles. We need to be here on the 20th with strong muscles. Amen. Because we got a lot of work to do. But one day that lump up there is going to fall down here. It's going to happen. I don't care how bad you fight it. What are you trying to say, Brother Andrew? Just get over yourself. And do something for God. Our mind is wrong. The world has told us how we ought to feel about ourselves. TV shows have told us. Hollywood has told us. Books have told us. Everybody's told us how to feel about ourselves, and we've never asked God, God, how do you think we ought to feel about ourselves? Man's got a great problem. Can I tell you how men ought to think about themselves? This is what every young lady, every young man, every old man, and every old lady in here, I didn't say old lady, the elderly ladies, the senior saints, I'm sorry. What every single one of us should think about ourselves. I'd like to see Joel Osteen or Oprah or Dr. Phil or any of these people say this. Because they won't. They will not tell anybody this. But you know what you ought to think about yourselves? When you look in the mirror in the morning, young ladies and young men, when you look in the mirror, you ought to look at that thing and say, sucker, you're wicked. You know what we ought to think about ourselves? We're wicked. The Bible says our flesh is wicked. But walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen? Our flesh is wicked. You know what you ought to think about yourself? You say, man, I need to love myself and I need to do all. You know what you need to think? You need to know that you're wicked. Your flesh is, if you're saved in here, praise God, you're saved. Your flesh is still wicked. And if you give it an inch, it'll take 20 yards. And your flesh, you know what we ought to think about ourselves? We ought to say, we are wicked. Everybody say it together. We are wicked. Because I'm wicked, amen. My flesh is wicked. And it'll do wicked things. It'll sin against God if I give it any bit of room. And if you start loving yourself, and being selfish in your works and in your ways, and you think that you're worth something, your flesh will take every advantage of it. There's a man that was a youth pastor of a church that I preached at several times. I preached several revivals at this church. And he's the youth pastor, and his wife had been married for 18 years. He's been with another woman for over a year, and she just found out about it. How does that happen? At some point or another, we start thinking that we're above reproach. He was a youth pastor. Amen. I hate it. It breaks my heart. These two people were not close friends, but they were acquaintances and friends of mine. It breaks my heart to hear about it. Somewhere down the line, start loving yourself and realize that thinking you're worth something, and you start thinking selfishly, not thinking about the wife and two children that you got, and next thing you know, your flesh will take you places that you never thought it would go. You'll start trying things you never thought you would try, all because you, in your mind and in your heart and your flesh, you want to explore some things, and you got away from the Word of God. I'm telling you right now, it is wicked. From the oldest person in here, and I'm not going to ask, to the youngest person in here, your flesh is wicked. If you give it an inch, it will take it, and it'll try to take more. And eventually, it'll take your life. It'll eventually take your life if you let it. It'll take it. If you don't get that thing right with God, young lady, if you start out with pride in your heart and pride in your life over your looks and over things, that thing will eventually control you for the rest of your life, and it'll take your life from you. If it don't kill you, it'll make you miserable. Why? Because it is your flesh is never pleased. Well, I can't wait to get a boy. Well, you get that boy, and guess what? You'll get bored with him and tired with him. You'll find out he really does pick his nose and eat it. And then you'll see another boy. And then you'll see another boy. And it'll never be pleased. Without God in our life, there is no pleasing. He said over there, he's throwing up because of the Laodicean in church. He said, you're miserable. And you know what? You know what? You try to go through this life without God, and you try to do it pleasing yourself and loving yourself, you will be a miserable person. You'll never be pleased. Hopping from one relationship to another, from one job to another, going through your life, just going through hopping, and all of it because you're trying to please yourself, and you cannot do it without God. Can't do it. It's impossible. You know what you ought to tell yourself? Your flesh is wicked. I got verses for some of these. If you're taking notes, Galatians 5, 16 through 21, we're not going to read it. His flesh is wicked. Galatians 5, 16 through 21. Not only that, but you know what you need to tell your flesh? It's weak. Man, that's one thing in sports and playing basketball and stuff like that. Whenever somebody came up and said, man, you're weak. You didn't ever want to hear that as a man. Say, come over here and I'll show you weak. Amen. I got Smith and Weston right here. I'll show you both of them, show you how weak I am. But you know what you need to tell your flesh, Fisher? No matter how high you can jump, no matter how many goals you can dunk, our coach, you need to tell your flesh, I'm weak. I can't handle it. That's what we ought to be telling ourselves. You know what? We don't need to write another book on how to help ourselves. We don't need to write another book on how to solve man's problems. We need to get in the book and read it and realize that we're wicked and our flesh is weak. And we can't handle it. That's what we ought to be telling ourselves. I know this is popular. Our flesh is... Bible says in Matthew 26, 41, Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? The flesh don't want to read the Bible. The flesh don't want to get up and come to Sunday school. The flesh doesn't want to study. The flesh doesn't want to pray. The flesh doesn't want to sit through church service. The flesh doesn't want to go to youth rally. The flesh doesn't want to do any of those things. It doesn't want to go on visitation. The flesh doesn't want to come to work day. The flesh doesn't want to do any of those things. Why? It just doesn't want to do it. But I'm telling you what, we need to realize our flesh is weak, and if we allow it, it'll mess up our lives. Every dumb decision I've ever made has been me, not God. Every problem I've had in my life has been me. I'm not blaming that on God. Now, God's helped me through them, and I thank Him for it. But our flesh is weak. Not only is our flesh wicked, our flesh is weak, our flesh is wanting. You say, what do you mean by that? Our flesh has a desire for something. It has a desire for fulfillment. The Bible talks in Ephesians 2:3. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation at times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know what you need to tell yourself? You need to tell your flesh that it is wanting. It desires things, and you need to tell it, no. You can't have it. Amen. Every now and again, ladies, maybe you just need to go out in public with no makeup on. Say, I'm not doing it. Amen? Oh, that went over real good. Brother Charlie Andrews was preaching up in Ohio. And believe it or not, there's preachers that preach against ladies wearing makeup. Amen? But the first time I ever met him was years ago. I didn't even know about Gloryland Baptist. I did not know about Charlie Andrews. And he was preaching up in Ohio. Me and my dad went up to the meeting he was preaching at, and he got out there preaching, and there were some preachers there that made some comments about ladies wearing makeup. They said it was very vain, and ladies shouldn't wear makeup and all these things. And Brother Charlie got up in the pulpit, and the first thing he said is, well, I don't know what the women look like where you're from, but they better put makeup down where we're from, or we couldn't look at them. He was making light of it. Amen. You say, what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? I'm talking about sometimes we love ourselves too much, and our flesh has desires. There's desire, men, there's some desires that God put in there. Amen. And, you know, towards ladies and girls, it should be. It shouldn't be towards, God didn't put a desire in there for another man. I'm just telling you that right now. You okay with that? Amen. God didn't put that, ladies, when you get a lot older, like 20, 30 years from now, God will put some desires in there for a man. But I'm telling you right now, those desires, if they're left unchecked and they're left without God's will in your life, will destroy you. Amen. They'll destroy you. So you say, what do we need to know, Brother Andrew? Our flesh is wanting, and it wants stuff, and we need to tell it no. My kids do not believe that I know any other word than no. Amen. Elijah says, Daddy, nope. Sarah's like, every now and again we got to say yes. But it's just every day. So you know what our flesh does all day long, Brother Heitch? I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. You know what we need to do? No. Well, I didn't even get to ask it. I don't care, no. It's just no right now. Why? Because I'm going to keep you in check, sucker. I'm not talking about Brother Hunter. I'm talking about me. My flesh. Because if not, it'll get... I'm talking about man has a great problem. And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about yet, I'm talking about our great problem is us. And the fact that we think that we're somebody, because we're not. And if we realize that, God could do something with our life and with our home and with our church. Last of all, and this wasn't meant to be a joke, I homiletically prepared the message. If y'all haven't noticed, his flesh is wicked, flesh is weak, his flesh is wanting, and last of all, his flesh is wacky. What do you mean? I looked up what the word wacky means. All right? Wacky is a mineral substance intermediate between clay and basalt. You say, what does that mean? We're a bunch of dirt balls. And it went with a W with my message. Preachers for the preacher's class. It went right with it. You know what you need to tell yourself? We're wacky. You know what that means? We're nothing but dirt balls. I don't care how much makeup. I don't care how much muscles. I don't care how much whatever we do. I don't care how much food I put in this thing. All it is a bunch is a dirt ball. Amen. And we need to tell ourselves that, remind ourselves of that. You say, what's man's great problem, Brother Andrew? He thinks way too highly of himself. And the world is feeding that every single day. But we are absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ. We're nothing. If you're saved in here this morning, by the glorious grace of God, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, thank God. If you're saved, say amen. Amen. Praise God, we're saved. You're still nothing. You're a nothing dirt ball that's saved by the grace of God. You're a house made of clay that the Lord Jesus Christ saw fitting enough to come live in. Amen. Oh, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth it, but He saved me, and I thank Him for it, and He lives in here right now. And praise the Lord for it. If you're lost in here this morning, you're still nothing, but you're a nothing without nothing. Amen. And when you die, that old lump of clay, dirt that you have, no matter how painted up it might be this morning, is going to burn in hell. And that's a sad, sad thing. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every head closed. I don't want any instruments this morning. Maybe if God spoke to your heart this morning, if the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to you, would you come to the altar this morning? Young ladies, young men, there's some of you I have never seen you make a trip to the altar. I've never seen you come down here and say, of all the messages and all the preaching that's been done, I've never seen you make a trip to the altar by yourself, not coming with anybody, but by yourself to do business with God. You say, why is that? I don't know. Is it pride? Do the messages just never touch your heart? Young ladies, young men, I mean, do the messages just, does God never speak to you? Because if that's the case, that's scary. Either that or you just got everything figured out. That's scary too, because I'm telling you, we don't. If God, there's no music, and I know it might be a little different this morning, but there's several people that have come to the altar. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if God spoke to your heart, would you come? Would you come get on the altar, young lady, young man, husband, wife, whoever you are this morning, and say, listen, God, I know I'm nobody, but I thank you for your grace and mercy. And Father, I pray you'd help me to be able to reach this world and realize that I am nothing. What about it? Some of you parents, man, you might be worried about your children or yourself. You say, man, why don't they move? Well, have you ever moved? Amen. Have you got on the altar? We need to get a hold of God this morning. We need to realize that we're absolutely nothing. We think too highly of ourselves, and He's everything. Amen. God's doing business down here at the altar. You pray where you're at. Let me ask you this. There might be somebody here this morning that has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You might be trusting in some kind of work. You might be trusting in something in your life that for salvation. I'm telling you, we are nothing. We cannot do nothing for ourselves to get saved. It was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ sending His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. We accept what He did on the cross. That's what saves us. If you've never done that this morning, maybe you could step out and we could take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You know, that's very arrogant of man to think that they have a part in their salvation. That there's something they can do to help them get saved. They can get baptized or they can do this or do that. That's very arrogant of man to think that he's somebody that he can assist in saving himself before God. Oh, we're nothing this morning. Oh, it's by the grace and mercy of Almighty God. We praise Him for all that He's done for us. There's still some doing business with the Lord this morning. If anybody needs somebody to pray with them, maybe they can raise their hand. We'll get somebody to pray with you. Man's great problem. Sweeping its way across the country. Been doing it for decades. Made its way into the church. And it is a great problem. The problem is we think too highly of ourselves. Jesus Christ needs to be magnified and lifted up once again in our home and in our lives. In the pulpits across America, Christ needs to be magnified once again. I don't need to hear a message about how good I am. I'm not any good. I need to hear a message about how great God is. You can look up here. Maybe sometime we'll preach it, but there's a message that I heard preached one time talking about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian that we believe ever lived. I mean, he was a great man of God. The Bible said that he called himself the chiefest of sinners. I mean, he was a wicked, wicked man, but God saved him. And the Apostle Paul, the closer he got to God, the less he thought about himself. If you go study the life of Apostle Paul, when he first gets saved, he tells the everybody, the people he's preaching to, he said, I am the least of all the apostles. You know what he's saying? Out of all the preachers, Brother Hitch, I'm the leastest one. And then a little bit later on, about halfway through Paul's life, he says, I am the least of all the saints. So he took it a step lower. He said, hey, not only am I the least of all the preachers, but everybody that's saved in the entire world, I'm the least of all of them. I'm nobody. And at the very end of Paul's life, when he's dying, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. You know what he's saying? Hey, I'm the lowest dirt ball there is. That's how he thought of himself. He said, man, I'm nobody. The closer he got to God, the less he thought about himself. And right at the end of his life, when he's praying that God would be pleased with his life, that he's run his race well, he goes, man, Lord, I'm nobody. I'm the chiefest of all the sinners. I am below the lowest sinner. Below the lowest scumball, that's where I am. Because he realized he's absolutely nothing without Christ. Man, that's where we need to be. We're nothing. Our church is nothing without him. Zero. We're a zero without him. If he ever blesses us and he's blessed us, we cannot begin to think that we had anything to do with it. I can't. Nobody. I mean, he's everything. Amen. Brother Hyde, you just missed in a word of prayer, brother.